In the middle of Perek Yud Zayin and Amaisim, Avidrichas Adam Lov Olidei Midazu, what are actions that can help propel a person to success in the Midah of Tahara? Who has Mono Divrei Avodah V'Mitzvos? Preparation for Avodas Hashem and Mitzvos in general. This is very similar to what we discussed yesterday. We'll repeat the mashal.
Is this Yudches or
Yud Zayin, in the middle of Yud Zayin. Hainu shel ikonis b'kima mitzvah b'fesa pisom. Person should never throw themselves in a mitzvah or land in a mitzvah or end up performing a mitzvah without any prior intention, without any prior premeditation and forethought. B'fesa pisom. Suddenly, the Rav used to say, Ein kedusha b'li hachana. Ein kedusha b'li hachana. It's a fact. So we said yesterday, when you see your parents' phone number on the caller ID, before you pick it up, you pause for a second, and you say, and you will speak more slowly and carefully and lovingly and respectfully the way that you should. And every moment of that phone call is a mitzvah. The only driving force behind that that conversation, which will inform the conversation and direct the conversation in a healthy way, will be your intention of displaying and demonstrating the Hakaras HaTov and the respect that the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim entails. And that's a great example of mitzvah gerorah's mitzvah. If you look at the Sefer Chinuch is famous for making this point about how Kibud Av V'Aim teaches us about Hakaras HaTov, right? Your parents brought you into the world. But what I think less people remember about the Sefer Chinuch is that he also adds that if a person can master that dimension of the relationship with their parents, it will also propel them into a better recognition of the Tov, of the Chesed, and the Hakaras HaTov that's incumbent upon them in the relationship with Hashem. Right? We can talk about this another time, but that's one of the reasons why, perhaps, the mitzvah Kibud Av V'Aim is on the first one of the Luchos, as opposed to the second one of the Luchos, right? Many of the Farshim explained, that the first set of luchos, the first luach, sorry, the one side of luchos is ben adam l'makom. The other one is ben adam l'chaveiro. So what's Kibud Av V'Aim doing on the side of luchos that's ben adam l'makom? So the answer is, there's so much about that mitzvah that actually directs a person's ben adam l'makom, even though it is something that is founded upon my relationship with human beings. But as the Sefer Chinuch goes on to explain, if you can muster the appropriate behavior in recognizing all that your parents did for you, bring you into this world and supporting you and sustaining you and educating you and everything else that parenting includes, then you're going to take a step back and consider the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam has been doing all that. Amen. For your parents and their parents and their parents and every other human being going back to the creation of the world, Adam HaRishon and Chava. And how much more so is that Kibud Av V'Aim going to be at the forefront? So there's a cause and effect. The better a person is about their Kibud Av V'Aim, the better they'll actually be about their Avodas Hashem. Because the more that we learn to recognize where things come from, we can go deeper and deeper and further back to the source, including all the way to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So pausing 1 second, 2 seconds before you pick up the phone is not just part of your Avoda of Kibud Av V'Aim, it's part of your Avoda in general with your relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. I have to share a story. I said this before. It's been a while. I don't think I said this in Shia. When I was, this goes back to 2007. My daughter was born. She was about 4 months old. And it was the first time that my wife trusted me enough to leave the house with me alone with little Chana Esther. And, I had a very simple set of instructions. You know, get the bottle, feed the baby. It's pretty easy, not too complicated. I've seen it done before, it was a pretty simple plan. So there I am in front of the computer, doing what I was doing, answering some emails. And I see it's 2 o'clock. Okay. Time to feed the baby. But I was in the middle of my emails, right? So got to multitask. So I have my daughter in my right arm cradled like this. Okay. And a bottle, right? Feed the bottle like this, okay? But I was trying to maneuver a little bit for this multitasking plan, so I figured out a way to, she wasn't that big, so, you can hold the bottle like this at the right angle to feed the baby while you continue typing, okay? Not So we've all done multitasking like that before. That's a big deal. But then the phone rings. Okay? So I pick up the phone. It's a friend of mine, you know, and I'm like, I got my, you know, my phone cradled between my ear and my my shoulder, still typing, still feeding. You know, you can imagine, it's not so crazy. So before the days of AirPods, you know, that would have made it a little bit easier. But I was balancing everything at the same time. So I had the conversation with a guy I hadn't spoken to in a long time. At the end of the conversation, he asked me, like, so what are you doing? So I said, actually, you know, I got the phone in this hand, got the computer over here, I got my, you know, the bottle in the other hand. So, and he said to me something. He's a very deep thinker. And he said something that like, hit me like a ton of bricks. I didn't even consider what was going on. He said to me, wow, you're feeding your daughter. You're demonstrating the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for every one of his children. I said to myself, wow, that is so impactful. Because what that simple statement did was transform the last 4 months of being up at 3 o'clock in the morning, changing diapers and, you know, and spit up and whatever, you know, not such an easy task for a first time parent, for a first time father. And it was a messy few months, as you know, that's what happens when you raise a kid, Baruch Hashem. It transformed it all into like a holy mission. Like, wait a minute, like what I'm doing right now, taking care of my kids, feeding them and loving them and showing that care and concern, one day they're going to grow up and they're going to say, Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu. They don't know what Avinu Malkeinu, how do you, what does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avinu Malkeinu. The answer is the only way you have a chance of trying to get an inkling of how a Jew is supposed to feel towards Hashem, by understanding how Hashem feels towards him or her, is by trying to reflect on the nature of the relationship you have with your parents. If your parents are people, your mother, your father, someone who is so self-sacrificing, is always giving, doesn't matter if it's 3 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, doesn't matter what they're doing, they drop what they're doing instead of trying to multitask, and they focus, and they give attention, and they feed, and they clothe, and they support, and they smile, and they show that connection and chashivas, so then what you're doing is, you're not just, you know, checking off the boxes of parenting. Your kid is going to grow up knowing, wow, I know what it means to have a father in heaven, right? You know, they're going to hear that in kindergarten. They're going to hear that in first grade. But what that means is, wow, I have this all-powerful being that, and they'll, as they become more sophisticated, as they have their own children, they'll see it even more, that is ready to do anything for me, who loves me, who cares about me so much. But that starts with the human parent being able to act in a way that will allow me to imagine a little bit of what it means to have a father in Shemayim. And all of that tircha, quote unquote, you know, that you would think, oh, you know, it's difficult. Okay, it's not difficult. It's a labor of love. It's a holy mission. Mamash, a holy mission to take care of your children and be a part of that process of helping educate what it means to have an Eibishter, a father in heaven. And that's all part of this connection. And likewise, the kids, the more appreciation they have for their parents, it will develop, it will become more sophisticated and more expansive and even extend to their understanding of what it means to have a Karsu Tov to Hashem. Pretty powerful lesson. But I think that's what the Mesilas Yesharim is alluding to in terms of the thought process. Every mitzvah is so deep. Dan, getting back to what you were saying before, of course, the more you think, the more you're going to uncover new layers. But you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. El Yasmin Atzmo Davar Yachin Libo B'mitzah Nat Shikonis Bizbonenos. Person's responsibility is Lahazmin. What does it mean, Lahazmin?
To invite.
Right. Lahazmin in modern Hebrew means to invite, right? But it's an aspect of preparation also to get yourself ready, yeah, to get the person who, you know, who I invite to the wedding, save the date, and be there, man, right? Lahazmin, right? A zimun is I'm inviting everyone. Get yourself ready, right? Anyone ever think about a zimun like that? A zimun is like, stop, rabosai, nivarech. Do you know what we're about to do?
Gentlemen, let us bless.
Okay, but do you realize, like, you just ate. Don't just, like, be full and, like, yada, 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 you know, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, you know? Yeah, but, like, the Rabbonu Shalom is here. Baruch atah Hashem, okeinu melech olam hazon, esa olam kula b'tumo. That's crazy. That's crazy. So we need a rabosai nevarech. We need to, like, take a moment and think, like, what are we doing? Like we said yesterday, right? This is no, you know, grace before meals, you know, like you see on TV. This is heavy. It needs a hazmana. It needs a hazmana. The yachin libo b'mitun, not shikonus b'zbonus. Prepare yourself with patience, mitun, like we find in Pirkei Avos. What does it say? Have a mesunim b'din. You have to have patience. You have to think. Yikonis b'zbonus. Contemplate what's about to happen. Vazis b'nimashu holech lasos. Sofneimihu holech lasos. Then you will have that moment to capture the understanding of where you're going, what you're doing, and before whom you are doing it. Like we also know from Pirkei Avos, right? Says something very important. Rabosai, all this discussion for the last 2 weeks has been about narrowing my focus to do things l'shem shamayim. So he says, all it takes is this pause. When you are be'ion hazek halhu, he says, just a little bit of examination of what I'm doing makes it so much easier to throw off and to sideline all the ulterior motives that might be behind my actions because I thought about it. It'll give you that chance to implant in your heart, in your mind, what intentions should be truly the thrust of what I'm doing. Not a coincidence what we find in the Gemara in Brachos. Daf Lamed, that the Hasidim Rishonim doesn't mean like the Hasidim like the Baal Shem Tov. It means the righteous people of the time of Chazal, the Mishnah and the Gemara, they would spend an hour before Shemona Esrei. An hour before Shemona Esrei, getting themselves ready, psyching themselves up.
Wait, would this have even been during Chazal? Like, I mean, it says Chassidim Rishonim, like, yeah. I get implying, like, even earlier. Like,
yeah, I don't think it means the time of the Avos. Okay.
I'm wondering. Like,
that it's mentioned in the Gemara. It can include earlier generations on Hanami. But the point is that we see people who invested time into their davening. They didn't show up late to a fast minyan, you know, and they're just trying to catch their breath. Right? No. There was a period of his boneness. Bevadai, kedei sheyichavnu libam l'malkam, in order to direct their hearts to Hashem. Bevadai, shlo yuponim, sh'ach l'vatala. It wasn't wasting their time. They weren't just twiddling their thumbs for an hour. El miskavnu mechim libam tefila, sh'ahoy lam esbal, v'dochum elem ha'machshav sazaras mesmal ma'yira, v'ahava atzricha. They were spending that time, banishing from their minds thoughts that would distract their tefillahs, that weren't really what they were to be focusing on, that could derail them from their proper machshavas during tefillah. And memela umismalin. Rabbi said, what does umismalin mean? 1205. Okay, really, really translate the word mismale. What's the shorish?
Male.
Male means?
Like a lot.
To fill up, right? But what is mismale? What is mismale? Well, to be filled, right? They filling themselves, but in a somewhat, it's not entirely active form, right? It's active, but there's a passive element to it also. I think this is revealing what we said yesterday about you know, putting the stone in the cup. When you make room by detoxing a little bit, you know, and just, you know, you can call it meditation. Okay, you don't need to be a yoga master to do this. But you can just take a few deep breaths, clear your head, and when you know what you're doing is tefillah, it's almost automatic that your mind will be filled with the ava and the yira, because, right, you know, think about it. A few minutes before a test, you don't need to stop and, okay, remind yourself about the anxiety that should be in my head right now, right? It's like automatic, right? So too, if I sit down and I'm preparing to daven and I clear my head because I know where I'm about to go. I'm about to go to the class, so I'm anxious about the test. I'm on the way to shul. Memela, I will be mismale. I will be almost automatically filling my head with these machshavos of av and yira that are necessary for an effective tefillah. Omer, im ato hachinos libecha ofarasta elacha elov. Sorry, kapecha. Pasuk says in Iyov, if you prepare your heart, then you can start davening. Finally, Rabbi Bosa, last paragraph. This is so powerful. Rabbi Bosa, we got to chaz this. This chapter, you should copy it, you should photocopy it, scan it, take a picture on your phone, and cut it out and put inside the cover of your sitter. and take 2 minutes to read it, you know, while Gevaldik, for sure. So he says, you want to know what's going to detract from your Tara, from this Mida? It's obvious. If you're not spending the time focusing on what we're talking about, so automatically everything else that you don't want clouding your head is gonna go in, right? That's natural, like we just said. If you're not spending time contemplating, again, the distractions of the Gashmias, and chasing after kavod and finally that last point, the minimizing the preparation for every mitzvah. Tefillah is a great example, as we just described. Keshnayim rishonim heim efatim es machshava mamshichim osa el apnios. Ke'isha shemen efes eshetachas isha tikach es zorim v'nikra machshava zechitonos znos alev d'chsev losasur achar levavchem achar enechem shetem zonim acharehem. Fascinating. He says, when I'm filling my mind with all the things that are going to enter my brain, with this lack of his bonus, with the lack of contemplation, he says that's what's called znus halev. It's the mashal. It's adultery of the heart. Okay, I mean I'm finding false and even betraying ways to use that tool, that great power of thoughtfulness that could achieve so much, and I'm letting it go astray. The heart is moving away from this full perspective, this complete perspective that it should be connecting with, to imagination, to foolishness, to things that are just in my own head valuable when in reality they're empty. And with this, you know, without the appropriate achana that we're describing, so the natural tendency, because we're human, because we're physical beings, is to keep those things in our minds that are going to spoil the potential for the avodas Hashem that every single Jew is capable of achieving, the siyata d'shmaya. And tomorrow, Mirz Hashem, b'neder, we will continue with the midah of chasidus, new chapter, new parak, yudchas.